Today we're going to look at just two verses. And so we'll look at that here in just a minute. Here's the title is Christ-like Example. Following, we need, or we are supposed to be, a Christ-like example. In Ben Franklin's autobiography, he tells of a time when he wanted to convince a citizen of Philadelphia to light the street at night with lanterns as a protective measure against crime and also a convenience for evening activities. On failing to convince them by his words, he decided to show his neighbors how compelling a single light could be. So he bought an attractive lantern, he polished the glass, and placed it on a long bracket that extended from the front of his house. Each evening, as darkness descended, he lit the wick. Soon after, his neighbors noticed the warm glow in front of his house. As time passed, people found that the light helped them to avoid tripping over protruding stones in the street. And soon after, others began to place lanterns in front of their homes. And eventually, the city recognized the need for having well-lit streets. You say, why you share that story? Because this story shows, or Ben Franklin used, the power of an example to influence people to put up streetlights when words failed to work. Words are powerful. We talked about that 2 or 3 weeks ago. There's no denying that. Oh, but an example has a power of its own. Samuel Johnson wrote this: example is always more effective than teaching. I mean, I can remember math class. I remember in the textbook, when you open up a new chapter in math, what would they be? An example. There would be a sample problem. Why is that? Because an example is powerful. Another guy wrote this, an example is not the main thing in influencing others, it's the only thing. Children become like parents, churches become like pastors, and students become like teachers. All because of the power of example. There may be no greater power on earth to change the behavior of others like an example. This morning, if you are a Christian, then you need to strive to be a Christ-like example. We don't need to strive to be right. We need to strive to be a Christ-like example. But to be honest, it's not always easy to be a Christ-like example. I mean, a couple weeks ago, chapter 4, verse 25, a Christ-like example doesn't lie. A Christ-like example doesn't allow anger to lead to sin, in verse 26. A Christ-like example doesn't bum off people and isn't lazy, verse 28. A Christ-like example doesn't slander and gossip, verse 29. A Christ-like example doesn't resort to bitterness when someone hurts or offends them or annoys them. That's verse 31, we preached that last week. A Christ-like example does the following. They are kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving. I'll say it again. It's not easy being a Christ-like example. That's a pretty big task in front of us, isn't it, Brother Mark? I mean, just what I'm not, and that's just, That's just in our text. I'm not even talking about the whole Bible. That's just what I read just from the verses from the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's not easy. But we must, and we are called to be a Christ-like example. In chapter 5 here, Paul, in verse 1, basically calls us to be an example. It says here in verse 1, be ye therefore, and by the way, that word therefore is going all the way back to taking the old man off and putting the old man on. You see, in verse 25, it says in chapter 4, wherefore putting away. Now you see here in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now we're going to get in that verse, my second point, but just in short, Paul is calling us to be an example. In verse 2, it says, and walk in love as what Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Now, has your life been that way this week? Could you say that you walk as Christ and been a sweet smell to Jesus? That's what we're to do. We're to be followers of God. We're to walk in love. We're to be tender. We're to be compassionate. We're to be forgiving. We are to be a Christ-like example. That's quite a task. How are we ever going to do that? How are we ever going to be a Christ-like example? Well, we're going to follow Christ's example in order to be a Christ-like example. That was going to be my title, but I wanted to put all that up there. Following Christ's example to be a Christ-like example. Paul here refers to Christ as the example to follow. He said in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us. I told my wife this, I alluded to this, that I'm kind of somewhat troubled about preaching this sermon. Because this is not, I love the last 2 weeks. Because, in case you didn't know, preaching on bitterness and preaching on the tongue is very specific, Miss Janet. You know what I mean? It's very, it's very specific. We can all understand it. But today, we're going to be talking about being Christ-like. And all that is a great topic. Sometimes we just don't seem to care. But here's the thing. We should care. Now, we are called to be the salt. We're called to be the light. We're called ambassadors for Christ. We are his workmanship. But I'm afraid that many of us have become lukewarm. I'm afraid that many of us desire to be with Christ, but I'm not sure that we desire to be like Christ. It seems like when I was a kid, I heard preachers preaching on this topic of being on fire for Christ. Being on fire for God. Now, there is no really spiritual temperature in the Bible. I mean, the verse in Luke, being lukewarm, being hot nor cold, that's talking about being effective for Christ, but he does. But what does that mean? Being on fire for Christ, growing up, what that meant was, it meant that someone had a desire to serve Christ and to be like him. When we said things, when the preacher said, be on fire for Christ, what they were saying was, we want people and we want believers are to be sold out for Christ. It was an all-consuming burden to be like Christ. I'm afraid that we don't have many on-fire Christians today. And by the way, same thing this week. Revival is going to happen when you, not us, but when you and I get on fire for Christ. When we walk out here today and say, my number one goal is to be like Christ. When that, with the right humble spirit, when that takes place, we will have revival. I believe we have a lot of carnal Christians who are trying to serve two masters, who are more in love with themselves than they are God, who have set their affection on the things of this world and not on the things above. I believe sitting in this room that many of us are bad examples. Let me ask you, do you want to be a Christ-like example today? Do you want to be a Christ-like example to your spouse? Do you want to be a Christ-like example to your kids? Do you want to be a Christ-like example to your grandkids? Do you want to be a Christ-like example to your neighbors? To your friends? To your co-workers? To fellow believers? To lost ones? To the one who love you and the one who despise you? I hope your answer is yes. And I hope that you're not just lukewarm this morning, going through the motion. I hope that the day you came or as we speak, that when I say, do you want to be on fire for God? I hope your answer is yes. Well, then I hope you'll pay close attention, not to my words, but the words of God, where together we can exhort one another to be Christ-like examples. No, that wouldn't be a bad thing, would it, Brother Mark? It'd be amazing if next week someone said, one of y'all said, are you being a Christ-like example? Would it be embarrassing? Yeah. But would it help me grow? Yes. Same thing for you. We need to leave here today, not just hearing a sermon, not just learning the Word of God, but go out and be that and exhort each other to do that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So, to do that, we're going to have to follow Christ's example. Three things I want to point out about Christ that I believe the Scripture teaches us about Christ that will give us the right perspective to be a Christ-like example. Number one, remember what Christ demonstrated. Remember what Christ demonstrated. To be an example like Christ, you're going to have to know what Christ did. And you know, and when I was in about fourth or fifth grade, the WWJD bracelet were real popular. What would Jesus do? Well, that's what we need to know. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Well, first thing here is, he demonstrated love to us. That's letter A here. He demonstrated love to us. Paul declares it in here in verse 2. And walk in love as Christ has loved us. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, thanks for the next few minutes, Lord, if we're here together, and I know every week people come in, they've got things going on, they're busy, and they're burdened, Lord, they're hurting, Lord, for different reasons, and Lord, I ask you to help us in right now, for the next few minutes, to clear that we've been deceived by Satan, and even our flesh and the world, Lord, help us to be able to push all of that aside. And Lord, help us to open our hearts and minds to your word, Holy Spirit. And ask you to speak to us and anoint us, Lord. And Lord, ask you to bring revival even today to each person in this room. Lord, help us, Lord, first, if they're not saved, that they'll get saved. But number two, if they are saved, that they won't just be okay with status quo, but Lord, they'll strive to do what Paul said, to fight the good fight and to finish the course and keep the faith, Lord. I ask you to help us be our desire today. Lord, help us to be on fire. Lord, help us not just to be okay with lukewarmness, but Lord, help us to be on fire, Lord, because there's people watching. Lord, we're an example, and our example speaks much louder than anything else. Lord, I ask you to help us today in Christ's name. Amen. Paul declares Christ loved us. He said, Christ has loved us. So, the fact is, Christ loves you. And Christ did love you. And he demonstrated that love. Now, what does that mean, okay? We hear that all the time. Well, you've heard it probably many times, but we're going to say it again. That love is agape. No, that means unselfish love, okay? It denies self, okay? That right there is convicting. Most of us love people because it benefits us. You know, if you give me candy, I love you. If you don't give me candy, then I don't love you. And I'll be nice to you if you're nice to me. Well, that's not agape love. And you're never going to be a Christ-like example until you wrap your mind around and ask God to give you this kind of love. It's doing what a person needs, not necessarily what they want. It involves the will. Meaning it's not a love that's based on common interests, you know? I mean, it's easy, Brother Darryl, for me to love people who have the same interests. It just kind of happens automatically. But this love is said, I see someone that I don't necessarily like on the get on my nerve, and I'm still going to speak to them. I'm still going to be kind to them. I'm even going to be kind to them, even if they don't reciprocate it back. That's this type of love. This is a God-paying love. Let me ask you, how well are you doing with that? You're not going to be a Christ-like example until you get a hold of this. And also, let me give you another definition. Such love is not mere sentimental feeling. It gives all, counting no sacrifice too great for the object on which it's fixed. You know, it doesn't do like I do in my marriage, Brother Darryl. My wife has been full of favors lately. Can you do this? Can you do that? You know, the first time's okay. Second time. But on the 10th, you know, but when I do this, about number 10, I'm like, you know, then the 10th time, you ask me to do something. I'm about tired of it. That's not agape love. Agape love sees no sacrifice too great. No matter how comfortable you are, you know, agape love is when you go into there, there's one piece of cake left. And you give it to the other person just because you love them. And you don't even see that as a sacrifice. That's the kind of love we're talking about. That's the kind of love Christ demonstrated. That's the kind of love we're going to have to understand today and practice if we're going to be a Christ-like example. John MacArthur said, biblical love is not a pleasant emotion or a good feeling about someone, but the giving of oneself of his welfare. Divine love is unconditional. That's where I mean, I love my wife, but I don't know if I always love her unconditionally, because about the 10th time, when that last piece of cake's there, at that point, I don't know if I love her. I love myself. I want it. Well, that's not agape love. Divine love is unconditional love. It's a love that loves people not for merit or attractiveness or the response of the loved one. The best way to understand this kind of love is not to let the dictionary define it, but let Christ define it. And he does. Paul declares it. He said, as Christ has loved us, but then Jesus defines it and said, and has given himself for us. Christ didn't give a sacrifice. He was a sacrifice. Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lived in me. And said, laughter, and gave himself for me. Christ loved us when we didn't love him. Christ loved us when we didn't have anything to offer. What do we do a lot of times? Hey, do me a favor. When you going to do me something later? You know what I'm just saying? I'll scratch your back and you scratch mine. That's the type of love that most of us have. You know why? Because that's natural. That's natural human. That's what we all do. We all love everybody who loves us. We all love the cute puppy dog, right? We don't love the mangy dog. That's been starved for 10 months. Not really, not naturally. Christ being on the cross defines love. He gave his most precious possession, life. He gave it for a sinner who didn't want it, didn't deserve it, didn't appreciate it. I mean, let's be honest, I can't sometimes even get off the couch. I can't even sacrifice my comfort sometime for people. I can't give up an hour of my time because it's just too much. Yet Christ gave his life. Let's be honest, Brother Tony. We don't mind giving an hour of time to somebody who's nice to us, right? But what about somebody that don't like you? What about somebody who isn't going to appreciate it? See, that's the type of love Christ gave, and that's the type of love we're going to have to demonstrate to for us to be a Christ-like example. See, most of us, we can love folks who love us and our family, but take somebody you don't like right now. Would you give your life for them? No. Would you even be nice to them? Could you even call them on the phone to say, hey, you know what Christ gave the most precious thing, not time, idea, but the most, at the top of the thing, he gave his life. He gave his life because we needed it and we couldn't provide it. He gave us forgiveness. Jesus gave us undeserved forgiveness. That's love. That's the type of love Jesus demonstrated. I mean, Jesus was here. He had no problem getting up 10 times to get you something. He had no problem giving you the last piece of cake. He had no problem saying, hey, you are ugly to me, but I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to be nice to you. That is the type of love that Jesus demonstrated. John 15:13, greater love has no man than a man lay down his life for his friend. That is what Jesus did. We want to be a Christ-like example. You need to take notes on the type of love Christ demonstrated. And I'm afraid that deep down, we don't practice that kind of love. Need something that comes from walking with the Lord. Need come from didn't come from something you decide. I'm going to try to obtain them with the Lord's help. It's agape kind of love. A love that doesn't love because of gain. It's not a love that love because it feels good. It's a biblical love that's unconditional for someone and give oneself for their welfare. A love that people don't deserve. It's a sad testimony of our love as Christians when we only love when it's easy or when it doesn't cost us something. Now, to be honest, that's really when it comes to most of us, we're not careful. We love when it's easy. We love when it doesn't cost us anything. We know we would drive 10 hours to help someone we like, but most of us wouldn't walk 10 minutes to help someone we didn't like. And that's just the truth. I see a few hands saying, thank you, I appreciate that. It's true. Well, the people that we love, we would walk barefooted on broken glass. But we won't help someone we don't like. Well, that's not the type of love Christ had. Let me ask you, what kind of love do you have? Natural love or supernatural? Luke 6:32 says, Jesus said, for ye love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Oh, it's easy to give a Christmas present and be kind to people that that's been good to us all year. But what about people that have not been good to you? What about the people who didn't benefit you? How good are you to them? See, he demonstrated love to us. And that today, if we're going to be an example we need to be, we're going to have to remember this. We're going to have to remember he demonstrated love to us, but let her be here. And we need to remember also that Christ demonstrated loyalty to God. And so, where do you get that at? Well, let's read verse 2 again. And walking in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for an offering and a sacrifice. There's two words right there. Ready? Don't miss them. To God. To God. That's what it said. See, the requirement of an offering. We don't need to skip these two important words, to God. We have sinned against God, and God requires there to be a price to be paid for our sins. So while Jesus loved us and died for us, let's not forget that it's because God's holiness required it. So when Jesus is on the cross, not only do we see Jesus' love for us, we also see the loyalty to God. He was loyal to the Father. Luke 22:42, I think, sums it up well. Jesus is saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, if we're being Christ-like example, we're going to have to be loyal to God. Oh, we're loyal to a lot of people, but I'm loyal to God. I mean, that's what Jesus was loyal. I mean, he said, not my will, God, but your will. Guess what? Your will, God's will, is for you to love people that that don't love you. God's will is for you to live holy. How loyal are you to that? And then here's the result of the offering. It says here, to God, verse 2, for a sweet smelling savor. Now, this goes back to Leviticus chapters 1 through 3. The burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, not the sin offering, but these things, both Warren Wimsey and John MacArthur said this, that the burnt offering pictures Christ's complete devotion to God. Christ, by his coming, by his life, and by his death, demonstrates loyalty to God. Guess what? If you're going to be a Christ-like example, you're going to be loyal to God. You've got to say in your heart, today I am going to follow God. And you're going to have to decide to serve God and God only. You know why? Because you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. You can't. And you're going to follow the leader. You're going to only follow one person. I did that one time in the children's church. I had two people. I said, y'all are both going to be leaders. And I got everybody behind me to follow the leader. Some followed this one. Some followed that one. Here's the thing. It's true in your life. You can only serve one thing. And that one thing needs to be God. Not your flesh. Not your desires. Not your feeling. Not how you were raised. Not what you think is right. Not what the world says. But what matters in what God says. Some of you need to decide who you're going to follow. Some of you need to be like Joshua in chapter 24, verse 15. For me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There's nothing else for the Lord. It's not for me and my house, serve the Lord if it's convenient. If I agree with it. If it doesn't cost me anything. No, he said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that has got to be what we do to be a Christ-like example. Some of you need to make that your motto and live it. I love the hymn. It seemed like at camp, we sang there. Well, it seemed like when I went to camp and preached on being on fire for God, and at the end, I always sang, I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to be loyal to God, to be a Christ-like example. We need to remember that Christ demonstrated love to others and was loyal to God. We would do well to follow in Christ's footsteps. To be a Christ-like example, you need to remember what Christ demonstrated. But number two, you need to remember what Christ desires. See, he demonstrated that. But what does Christ desire? Well, letter A here, Christ desires for us to walk in his likeness. That's letter A there. And it says this in verse 1. And be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. It's not complicated this morning. What Christ wants you to do, and he wants you to walk in his likeness. Here's the exhortation. Be ye followers of God. Follower means to mimic. Imitators. We want to be imitators, okay? We want to mimic. That means we want to shape ourselves according to an existing pattern. An imitator or somebody to mimic, they see a pattern and see an example, and what do? They do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Simon Says? Simon Says. That's what you do. What, instead of Simon, it's Jesus said. We want to look at Jesus and do what he does. If he walks here, we walk here. If he don't go there, we don't go there. When he says do this, we do it. When he says not to do it, we don't do it. We are to mimic. We are to mimic Jesus Christ. And as he says here, be followers of God. We want to mimic our lives after God. So this is where Jesus comes into play. We are act as God would act. Well, how do we know how to do that, Jesus? You want to know how God act? Read the Gospels. Or read the whole Word of God, really. But read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. We want to mimic our lives after how Jesus lived. To help us grasp this exhortation, Paul gives an example. It says here, as dear children. What do children do? They copy what you do. I mean, if you wear cowboy boots, guess what the kid wants to do? Wants to wear cowboy boots. And if you're, my dad, I don't know if he always does now or not, but he carries a pocket knife in his left back pocket. Guess what I used to do? For a long time, I used to have a video that had a wore-out spot in my back left pocket. I want to be like my dad. And copy what your father does or even other adults. You are the same way that a kid adores an adult and copies what they do. That's what you're to do. That's what you are to do. And that's what Christ desired. He desires you to walk in His likeness. But not only do you want you to walk in His likeness, but letter B, Christ desires for you to walk in His love. See, we didn't talk about it, but what did it say here? Verse 2, and walk in love. I mean, you can't get past that. He wants you to walk. Not the perverted love of today's society, not the selfish love of most people, but a true love that we already define, a God-paying love. He wants you to walk in that. He wants you to conduct yourself. And walk here is a habit of life. We want to make it a habit to live our life in a Christ-loving manner. Basically, the way Christ loves us and treated us is what we are to do. That means we're supposed to be good to those who despise us. We're supposed to be good to those who do us harm. We're supposed to love. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. We're supposed to love those who we know are not going to appreciate it. We're supposed to give forgiveness when they may not forgive you back. Why? Because that's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. Let me ask you, do you walk in this kind of love? Let's be honest for a minute. I know we love to talk about, we love to put Bible verses, we love to wear shirts and bracelets and put signs up. What we got in our house, Elizabeth? Love, all those abide, love and those, yeah, something like that. It's all, from Hobby Lobby, so. Something about love, and we got it up in our house. But do you walk in that kind of love? I want you to think for a minute, because I got something I'm going to tell you. Do you walk in that kind of love? Yes or no, in your mind. Give yourself a rating, 1 out of 10. All right, you ready? Here's a description of this kind of love. I said this Wednesday night. We're going to say it again. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. This is agape love. Charity is, that's love. Charity suffers long. That means not short-tempered. And is kind. Charity envies not. Charity boasts not itself, is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. I mean, let me be honest, I may control myself on the outside, Brother Darryl, but there's time when people do something to me, and I'm thinking a lot of evil on the inside, you know what I mean? But that's why we're talking about it. That's convicting. Thinketh no evil. There's not enough that you just control your tongue, not say nothing evil. You also are not supposed to think no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoicing in truth. Bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. According to this description of love, are you walking in love? I know I failed. I failed at Chick-fil-A the other day. Wasn't bad. And I don't think anyone really realized it, but they were being stupid. And then they didn't know why. I was confused. They were confused. But they were just like, well, I don't know. That's why I don't know either. And I walked away and gave him back what they gave me, something I didn't need. I said, well, here. And I sit back and look, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't walk in love. I didn't walk in God's love. I failed when fishing the other day. Me and Sonny had the opportunity to go fishing, and we were fishing in this boat. For whatever reason. I mean, they got the whole river. They literally drove. We're here. They literally drove right here beside us. Driving through. And of course, what do I do? I give them a stink eye. I give them a scowl. I give them the, what are you doing? Charity suffers long. Charity focuses not on itself. Charity is not puffed up. It's not easily provoked. I was provoked. I saw him coming from a mile away. And we're fishing that bank. First of all, why didn't you get over? You're messing up the water I'm fitting to fish. Easily provoked. Thinking no evil. I was thinking some evil things. I was thinking, at that moment, I'd been fine to vote with a saint. And I would have rejoiced. And the Bible says, do what? Don't rejoice when bad things happen to your enemies, right? So there was no walking in love at that moment. Let me ask you, how about you? How well are you walking in love? Yeah, I know we talk about it all the time, and it is almost a kind of an intangible, abstract idea, you know, to some degree. But how well are you actually walking in love? You need to care because Christ cares. Christ cares. To be a Christ-like example, you're going to have to remember what Christ desires and can do it. And get into what he desires. He desires for you to walk in his likeness. And he desires for you to walk in his love. Christ wants you to do that. So let's hear what you need to do likewise. To be a Christ-like example, you need to first remember what Christ demonstrated. You need to remember what Christ desires. And then number three, you need to remember what Christ detests. Well, I can tell you right now, and we're going to get into this next week, Christ detests sin. Christ detests disobedience. I mean, Christ detests when we mess up, that's what Christ detests. He detests when we fail. So, later on here, this won't be long, but the attitude we should develop towards sin. Look with me in verse 3. We're gonna cover verse 3 and all that next week. But it says, but fornication and uncleanliness of covetousness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becoming saints. The attitude that we should develop is we should have the same detest that Christ had, that I am not even going to let be named among me. Here we follow most of us. Most of us, we find the line. And we walk as close as we can to it. And we say, well, technically it's not wrong. Technically, it's not wrong. But here's the problem. The attitude that we should have is, you know, I'm going to get as far away from that as I can. Once again, I grew up very conservative. And there were some things sometimes that was preached that wasn't wrong. And I don't think that was right. But I think that we've gotten to the point where now nothing's wrong. And everything's just fine. There's things that are wrong, and there's other things that are not wise. That may not be wrong, but they're not wise. And now we just do everything. That's not, and I don't want to be legalistic, and I don't want to preach anything that's not wrong. But we need to get back to realize and have a seriousness and have an attitude that says, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be named among that. And we're going to talk about that more next week, but let it be here in the action God has towards sin. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, I'm pretty sure it's talking about unsaved people, but still, the point is still the same. And God doesn't like sin. He has wrath toward it. I'm afraid that we think God doesn't care, and we got our little sins over here. We got four or five that we think we decided they're okay, and we like to nurse them and pet them and practice them. Here's the thing, God detests that. He detests sin. He detests obedience. And he has wrath. He's angry. We got to remember God is a holy God, and he detests is an abomination and it's disgusting. By the way, it's not just one sin that's an abomination to God. I'll talk to someone at some point. Same like a guy, Christian. Kept talking about homosexuality. There's, no, God is, God detested by that, but he detested by all the other sins too. Every other sin is an abomination to God. Let me ask you, do you detest your sin? No. I know you detest Washington D.C. sins. I know you detest Hollywood sin. I know you detest the world sin. But how about your sin? Do you detest your sin? So God detests your sin like he does anybody else's. And I'm afraid that we've got to go around pointing fingers at a certain sin or a certain area, and we're like, ah, I'm against that. Or you're against your sin. Are you against that bitterness that we talked about last week? Are you against the what you say with your mouth like we talked about 2 weeks ago? Do you detest the fact that you're not walking in love when you become snooty and snappy and rude and all? Do you detest that? Because God does. Christ does. Because that sin nailed him to the cross like any other sin. And we're not going to have revival hating other people's sin. We're going to have revival when you decide today, I'm going to test my sin. When you get broken over your sin. When you get broken over your lukewarmness. When you get broken over the sin in your life, that's when we'll have revival. When God's people turn from their wicked ways. That's revival. I'm all for people getting saved, but it's to the point where all we care about is they need to get saved. You need to get right with God. Just like a sinner has to realize they need help, you've got to realize that you need help, and you need to get on your knees, and you need to repent of whatever it is in your life. That's a problem. We're too busy focused on everything else. Yeah, I would say the church is in a very poor condition overall. Let me ask you, do you detest your sin? Because Christ does. You'll never be a Christ-like example if you don't deal with your sin. No one else's. Your sin. Your sin. Like my preacher, my mentor, when he preached on revival, he said, draw a circle. And get in the circle and say, Lord, bring revival to this circle. What he's saying is, focus on yourself. Get in that circle and say, Lord, I'm going to hate all the sin in this circle. That's going to be you. The problem, and one of my first sermons, well, not first, but I give the old illustration of a shovel and a rake. I said, a lot of people take a shovel, and they take the word of God, and they take what we preach, and they say, that's great for somebody else. Woo! And I said, we need to be like a rake. You need to rake it to you. You need to rake it to you. And I got a lot of people make fun of me. My friends make fun of me with that illustration, but I thought it was really good, Brother Daryl, because I stole it from a missionary, so I mean, it wasn't in your mind. But it's true. You need today to detest your sin. Not anyone else's. Doesn't mean we don't call out like it is. Don't mean we're compromised. But for you, that's the thing you need to leave here saying, what about me? Isaiah says, woe is me. We need to have some of that. The problem, we're woeing everybody else. But I'm afraid we're not woeing ourselves. Woe is me. This morning, let's follow Christ's example to be a Christ-like example. Because you are an example of someone. You're probably an example to more people than you realize. But you are an example to someone. As we stand to our feet, just for a moment, after Miss Tammy and Miss Brenda come to play a song of invitation. You know, we do this every Sunday. And I'm afraid that we're just going through the motions sometimes. I'm afraid we hear a sermon and I hope that I'm biblically based. I try my best. I hope that you learn the Word of God. I hope the Spirit moves. I pray for that. And then I feel like sometimes we just go out these doors. And I know you can talk to God. You don't have to do that at the altar. But I do think that at some point when revival is going to take place, when we together come together and pray. I believe that. Let me ask you. Are you being a Christ-like example? And they begin to play. If God spoke to you, don't put it off. Hey, it'd be a great thing for the altar to start getting full again. I think it's a spiritual issue, in my personal opinion. I think God's people need to humble themselves.